Brother Clayton has mentioned the circumstances and the many things that are happening in our world, especially in our nation. We're thankful to have the opportunity to speak in the Lord's name today and do ask an interest in your prayers. I'd like to talk to you this morning about a subject that we're all familiar with and one that affects us every day. A subject we talk about all the time, but many times we speak of it in terms that we'd rather not talk about it. And that's the subject of time. T-I-M-E, not T-H-Y-M-E. You'd probably rather I talk about T-H-Y-M-E. But T-H-Y-M-E is not in, well, I don't know, it may be in the Bible. I'm not sure if it's one of the herbs mentioned or not. But T-I-M-E, time. Well, it's an understatement to say that it's an important subject. Time is important. It's we live by time. It's we're created in time. We're creatures of time. We're governed by time, whether we like time or not. That's just part of what we are, who we are, and defines defines every aspect of our life in reality. First thing, of course, that the reason we have time is because God created time. It's kind of something in my mind to think about that. Of course, what we have in the world that we have today, you know, God created it. I don't know that there's any verse in the Bible that particularly just up and says, you know, well, I created time. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God moved upon the face of the waters and so forth. And that was what happened the first day. That's the first time we have in the scripture any word that has anything to do with time. And so God, of course, created the heavens and the earth, and then he did what he did on the second day, then he did what he did on the third day, then on the fourth day, you know, he created the stars and the sun and the moon. And of course, our sun and what God created, what occurs as far as the natural revolutions around the sun and so forth, gives us the measurement of time. And the measurement of time is probably what we fuss about more than actual time itself. But nonetheless, God created it. The infinite being who is not governed by time himself. Aren't you thankful that there'll be no clocks in heaven? There'll be no rush hour in heaven, which is governed by time, rush hour. Of course, the greatest thing about that is that, forgive me for this foolishness, but in heaven, we'll be growing old all the time, but we'll spend eternity growing old. Or you could say, well, when we get to heaven, we'll be young and we'll spend eternity enjoying youth all the time. Well, either way you want to say it, you know, that's just the way we can look at it, because in eternity, we'll not be governed by time. But the word eternity is a time word. You know, it's based upon our understanding of time. So anyhow, of course, time, while we live here in this world of time, there are a lot of things that are important as far as time is concerned. You know, God especially in the Old Testament, you know, there were a lot of seasons. You know, a lot of times we see the word time, it's talking about seasons. You know, 40 days and 40 nights was a season of time that affected the nation of Israel. in their history often. One of the things that many Israelites did, three prominent ones, of course, was in fasting. Fasting was governed by time. There were a lot of events that had to do with 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, the time, the measurement of time, the measurement of time to me is a real thought that I, you know, think about. I mean, just think about it. Time, the measurement of time. The lowest common denominator of time is what? It's a second. 60 seconds equal a minute. 60 minutes equal an hour. 24 hours equal a day. 7 days equal a week. But then within all of that, you can really have some fun by talking about how many seconds there are in a minute, how many seconds there are in an hour, how many seconds there are in a day. And it's mind-boggling. Have you ever been told to live each day as if it were your last? Well, let's just say, I didn't do the calculation and I'm not smart enough to do it that quick, but just say that there's 200,000 seconds in a day. Now, what if you were told to live the last 200,000 seconds of your life as if they were your last? A little bit different perspective, you know. To me, I would rather somebody say live the last day or the last hours, because when they say seconds, one thing that we associate with seconds is how fast they occur. How fast they occur. I mean, in just a short time that I've been before you, we've already talking about hundreds of seconds. So time is important. The Bible talks about high time. The Bible talks about in due time. Of course, the Bible talks about a set time. Many times, especially in, see, there's that word again. See how easy it comes out. It was interesting to me in studying on this and looking up various scriptures, how many times the scripture said, and at that time. You know, this occurred or that occurred. At that time. Of course, the Bible talks about in the process of time. And lastly, the Bible talks about the end times, which is simply talking about there's coming an ending of time. The God who created time is going to bring an end to time. Well, another thing about the word is that it refers to repetition. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it's in Matthew 18, where he talks about if thy brother offend thee. Or the question was asked, if by my brother, how often should I forgive him? How many times? And I say, well, now, that's a little bit different. You know, we're not talking about seconds, minutes, and hours there. But we are talking about an occurrence. And that's what time is, by the way. It's an occurrence. Okay, but in the definition, the word also refers to times. You know, if thy brother offend thee, if he comes to thee and ask for forgiveness 7 times, shall I forgive him 7 times? Jesus said, nay. If he comes and asks you 70 times 7 in a day, then that's how often you should forgive him. 4 times 4. It's a word we use in arithmetic or mathematics. You know, I didn't know what mathematics was for a long time. When I was in grammar school, we studied arithmetic. We didn't study mathematics. In fact, when I first heard the term, I said, well, that's got to be college. You learn that when you get to college. We study arithmetic in grammar school and high school, and we study mathematics when we get to college. Of course, people talk about the state of things. You know, that's where we are today with the COVID and of course with our government. You know, we're having hard times. You know, times are not so good. They're hard times. And we're looking for better times. You know, and we want to enjoy good times. We just put into practice one of the things about time in our song service. You know, whether you read music or not, you sing by time. You know, those words are set to music. And if you sing music, whether you can read music or not, you're singing by music. You know, you're all professionals and didn't know it, did you? You know, but timing in music is a very important part as far as the composition of the music is concerned. And of course, if you sing it correctly as it's compositionally written, then that has an effect upon how you sing the song. But in that, you know, time or timing, of course, is important. We speak about, and we know that life's moments are regulated by time, not only as far as good times or bad times or fun times are concerned, but have you ever had a visit from somebody just when you needed them to come? Said your timing was perfect. You know, we have to throw in something about sports, and we have to throw in something about eating. You know, the batter, if he gets a good hit, the announcer says his timing was perfect. Just about any sport you could talk about in those terms, their timing was perfect. And of course, you know, come here in a little while, it'll be time to eat. You know, time to eat. Well, though we find, of course, that our world, as far as time is concerned, first of all, we speak in terms of day. When God created this world, you know, whenever he created the heaven and the earth, you know, that's referred to as the first day. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about days, you know, how we should live our day, that we should live day by day. But the Bible also talks about, as far as time is concerned, that there's the day of the Lord. Now, whatever that particular day might be, without going, you know, in, because that's not my intention to go into detail in all of that, but just to get us to thinking about time and how important it is, not only just as far as, you know, what time of day it is, but how important time is, not only in our lives, but in Scripture, and even in doctrine. The day of the Lord. In the Old Testament, you know, there's several prophecies concerning the day of the Lord. Most of those prophecies, I understand, were referring to the coming of the Lord in the person of Jesus Christ. It was a day that the Israelites looked for, the day of the Lord. You know, today could be the day of the Lord. Well, the day of the Lord did come when Jesus Christ was born into this world. But that was just the first day of the Lord. You and I also are looking for the day of the Lord. And it's kind of... odd for me in thinking about this subject, why we would refer to it as the day of the Lord. We refer to, maybe it's because the scripture speaks in terms of our existence with God, oftentimes as a day. You know, that there's coming a day. There's coming a day. It's an eternal day. It'll be an eternal day. We think of it as an eternal day. You know, one of the things that I do I guess it's because I'm just weird that way. But I like to mark time. You know, I have a little calendar. I put appointments on. And one of the things that I do every morning is I mark off the day before. Of course, the older I get, it kind of helps me keep in line. You know, it's today Wednesday. Well, I look at my calendar. The only problem is a lot of times I forget to mark off the previous two or three days, you know. Then I have to consult some other source and make sure I don't mark off the wrong day. I have done that. Then I have a couple of John Deere calendars. You know, I go and get them all lined up, marking the days, the day of the Lord. Of course, then we have the week. And remember, you know, God created time. You know, one thing that's always a boggled my mind is how people in general, and a lot of times people who profess to be Christians, can come up with some of the ideas about this world that we live in, and about their ideas of what they should be doing as far as keeping God's commandments are concerned and so forth. It's like they don't even consider, it hasn't even crossed their mind that, listen, you know, we ought to be doing things God's way, because we live in God's world. You know, if I go to your house or your house, you know, I expect to be treated like a company, even if I'm family. But one thing that I learned and was taught that, you know, when I go to your house, I'm your guest. I'm in your house. You know. And so I, at least up to a point in that example, you know, I'm there. I'm governed by your rules. Well, you know, this is God's world. I mean, whether we like it or not, even whether we believe it or not, we live in God's world. And we're governed by God's creation of time. And everything else that he created as far as that's concerned. We know the Old Testament had its Sabbaths. The seventh day in the Old Testament was the Sabbath day. It was the seventh day. That that day, the Hebrew word the Hebrew word for week is shab, is pronounced or spelled S-A-S-H-A-B-H-U, Shabhu. We get our word Sabbath, or get the word Sabbath from it. The seventh day was a day of rest. It's a day that God made as a day of rest. That word in the Old Testament, Sabbath, came to be used as a word for week, not just the day, the seventh day, but the day of week, and for the word week. And so there were weeks, depending upon the particular portion of the law that required them to do certain things every seventh week, which was a Sabbath week, and so forth. So even the Old Testament worship, and even our worship, is governed by time. you know, we need to, of course, follow all of that. We sing a song, you know, time. What an empty vapor 'tis. And days, how swift they are. This is a song that's attributed, and you know, Abraham Lincoln wrote this song. I found this information about it interesting, and I'll share this with you, and then turn the service over to Brother Clayton. Lincoln's education, it is said, was deficient. It lasted formally but a year, which really was quite enough for someone born into rural poverty along the western frontier in 1809. Then and there, literacy meant reading the Bible, writing, signing a document, arithmetic, a way to tally field clearing, raising crops, livestock, clearing logs, and rudimentary business. Anything more in the way of intellectual attainment was considered laziness. A cousin of Abraham Lincoln, Dennis Hanks, said Lincoln was lazy, a very lazy man. He was always reading, scribbling, writing, ciphering, and writing poetry, and so forth and so forth. To Lincoln's hardscrabble kith and kin, his will to educate himself was foolishness and important to rebuke. "I tried to stop it," his father said, "but he got that fool idea into his head, and it can't be got out. Now, I hain't got no education, but I get along far better than if I did." So his father did what he could. If he found his son reading, he beat him and threw his books away. But the boy was to the father obdurate. He was to himself hopeful. He persisted to learn, as this page attests. Here amid mathematics, he writes a piece of doggerel that was in a book that Abraham Lincoln carried around and made persistent notes. "Abraham Lincoln, his hand and pen, he will be good, but God knows when." And copies a few lines of a melancholy hymn by British theologian Isaac Watts. These scribbles are among the earliest known and would be of intense interest then if they told mere nothings. But they tell instead three significant things about Lincoln, and as such are wonderfully prescient. P-R-E-S-C-I-N-T. The young Lincoln was diligent, may be surmised from the exactness of his calculations, that he was irreverent from the playfulness of his doggerel, and from the quoted hymn, that he was, even in youth, inclined to mourn the irrecoverable past. The verse, recorded later by future law partner William Herndon in his Life of Lincoln, reads, "Time, what an empty vapor 'tis, and days, how swift they are. Swift as an Indian arrow, fly on like a shooting star. The present moment just is here, then slides away in haste, that we can never say they're ours, but only say they're past." In closing, you know, we feel like so much of the time we waste time. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul reminds us to redeem the time. And may the Lord bless us to redeem the time.